So, Norman, as you and I have mentioned in the past, there's been a really large increase in bowel cancer being detected in younger people. According to Cancer Australia, it's more than 2.5 times an increase over the last 30 years, which is a bit worrying, and especially when you sort of put a face on that. And today I just want to introduce you to Julie.
I'd been doing my family tree for quite a long time. Just before my 40th birthday, I was going through a few notes and I noticed that there was one particular thing that kept coming up, and that was a diagnosis of colorectal cancer, particularly on my dad's side. My bowel habits have become a little bit different, I guess, but not really significantly. I went to see my GP and he said that I was quite within my right to request a colonoscopy, which I did. And 2 weeks after my 40th, I was diagnosed with stage 3 bowel cancer. The doctor said to me, "You're female, you're under the age of 50. I doubt we're going to find anything, but to put your mind at ease, we're going to go ahead and do the colonoscopy," and that's what happened.
So you went in really thinking that this was kind of like to rule something out.
Yeah, I was thinking that I was just going to get an answer that said to me, you know, "You're imagining things, things are okay, put your mind at ease." And it kind of came out the opposite thing, where there is something there and, oh my God, we caught it in time. If you'd waited any longer, it would have been too late. Being a busybody and doing family history and Mr. Nosy, I guess, I just went in and found everything. And through births, deaths and marriages, you find out what people have passed away from. And I just had a table going, and I had like sepsis and bowel cancer was something that just sort of popped up quite often. I just sort of went off that and thought, well, this part of me doesn't sit right with me at the moment and I'm feeling a little bit different, so I'm going to get out there and I'm going to act upon it. My main message is, no matter how old you are, no matter what gender you are, take notice of your body. If there's any slight changes, anything that's even just a tiny bit different, get out there and speak to your GP about it. It's not an old man's disease. It's not an old person's disease. It affects young people. As I say, don't be a Julie. I want people to be. Don't have bowel cancer and then just sit back and go, you know, it's going to be nothing. Be Julie, as in being a proactive Julie. That's what it is. It's kind of a bit of a joke around here that you've got to be the proactive Julie and get out there and get it done. But the main turning point for me was doing my family history, knowing that I had a really big factor of grandparents, cousins, aunties, uncles that have had it. Just never think that you're too young, because you're not too young. It can happen to anybody. Do it for your kids, for your grandkids and for the future. Get yourself tested if you're ever in doubt.
So that's Julie. And of course, the mystery is why there are so many Julies around and Juleses.
That's right. Well, there's two things here, right? There's the young onset side of things, and there's the family history that, of course, she was doing those genetic kind of family tree thing and found this trend coming up. For years, we've known there's been a family history factor with colorectal cancer, but it's been hard to pin down this sort of one that we know is a definite.
There's a thing called Lynch syndrome.
Correct. Yeah, it causes a really high risk of cancer in families, but then there's also other ones that we haven't been able to pin down. One potential answer is coming to light, which is the role of bacteria in driving bowel cancer. It's not a new idea, but a group at the University of Melbourne have found what they say is a smoking gun, at least for one strain of bacteria. Daniel Buchanan leads the lab.
There's been plenty of studies in the last few years to show that certain types of bacteria are more common in people that have developed colorectal cancer when they compared those bacteria and their prevalence to people that hadn't developed colorectal cancer. So this idea that there is potentially harmful bacteria that are living within our gut that might contribute to colorectal cancer is not a novel idea, but I guess in more recent times we've had better technology to further explore that relationship.
And that's really what your recent research has been able to demonstrate.
That's right. We've been able to show that particular strains of bacteria, and these are bacteria that commonly occur in the gut, but these types of bacteria produce a toxin, and that toxin can be damaging to DNA. Our research has shown that when you look at the DNA within a bowel cancer tumour, we're able to find evidence that those toxins have caused damage to the DNA, which may have led to the development of cancer in that person.
So these are strains of E. coli, which I think people kind of recognise as a one they've heard of before. What's different about these ones as opposed to your common or garden variety E. coli?
That's right. E. coli is fairly common in the population. The particular strain we're interested in has a group of genes that produces a toxin, which I said is damaging to DNA. So it's less prevalent. It certainly is one that we've seen present within the tumour of people that develop colorectal cancer, and one that we've been able to show that can cause specific DNA damage that we can measure within that cancer.
So this is sort of linked to a broader trend that we're seeing in bowel cancer where the age of onset is younger than it was before. This sort of idea of people perhaps in their 50s and beyond being screened at sort of being the younger end of that age group, that's being revised down now. What's the relationship with the age change that we're seeing?
So we're seeing a very alarming trend where younger adults in Australia are at increasing risk of developing bowel cancer. And in the last 20 odd years, the number of people under the age of 50 that have developed colorectal cancer has doubled. So it's quite alarming. We're trying to understand why that is happening, and it's not just unique to Australia, but it's also seen in other countries around the world, particularly in the US and Canada. And the common hypothesis at the moment is that over time, the changes in our diet and our lifestyle have led to changes in the composition of bacteria that live within our gut.
Their microbiome.
Our microbiome, yes. So the balance between healthy and unhealthy bacteria has changed over time, and that's potentially contributed to an earlier development of colorectal cancer, which we would normally associate as a later onset disease.
So that's the hypothesis. If it's right, what's the intervention? Would you be looking to change people's diets, or are you looking to eliminate this strain of bacteria itself? Because is it possible that it's doing good things as well as bad things while it's there?
That's right. Not every bacteria in your gut is harmful. There's some that we definitely need that are very healthy and required for normal digestion. The ideal scenario is that we would be able to identify people who have this particular strain of bacteria in their gut or may be exposed to it in early childhood and be able to eradicate that bacteria before it can produce the toxin and cause DNA damage.
So we know that family history is relevant with bowel cancer, and the reason why it's relevant is not always clear. There's not sort of one gene in most cases that you can sort of pin it on. How could this bacterial cause be linked to a family trend?
Yeah, so we normally, when we think of a family history of bowel cancer, we think that there's some inherited factor that's passed on from our parents that we might pass on to our children, but that's not always the case, and it's only seen in about 20% of people that develop young onset bowel cancer. So we're thinking that, and this bacteria might be part of the issue here, that a shared environment or shared in diet with your family members may not only predispose you to getting bowel cancer, but also your family members as well. So that's something that we're exploring within a family setting.
And how early is this damage perhaps occurring?
So the current theory with this particular strain of bacteria is that there's exposure early in life, and that the exposure to the bacteria might be prolonged over a period of years, which enables the production of the toxin and enables the toxin to get into our cells and potentially bind to and damage the DNA. The current thinking is that it's potentially early in life. It's not something that's happened a year or two before we might have been diagnosed with a bowel cancer.
So the research that you've done, you've been able to tie the genetic changes in the tumour to a very specific strain of E. coli. You've got that smoking gun there. But is there plausibly other bacteria that are doing similar things for other types of bowel cancer?
Yes, and that's something that we're currently investigating at the moment with the funding that we have through Cancer Australia and Cancer Council New South Wales, is investigating other types of bacteria that produce genotoxins in the gut. And we've shown with our latest research that these bacteria are present within certain subtypes of bowel cancer, including those that occur in young people. So we're trying to then follow this template that we've been able to show with the PKS E. coli and show that there's a particular type of DNA damage that's associated with certain strains of bacteria that we've been able to identify within the tumours.
This is really cool for understanding how things work and potentially warding off cases in the future. But for someone who's dealing with a diagnosis now or knows that they've got a family history, what can they take away from this?
Often in the research setting, we work really hard to try and do what we can for people at the time, but a lot of the research that we do might not evolve to be implemented until it has some effect on for the next generation. You know, this is a early onset bowel cancer or cancer in young adults in Australia is a really alarming trend. This rise is projected to continue, and this age group of people have poor outcomes typically. And, you know, this is occurring during what we consider the rush hour of people's lives when they're very busy with having a young family or developing their careers. So it's a really traumatic time to be developing a bowel cancer. What we're trying to do and get funding around and build initiatives such as Count Me In, where we can get engaged with patients and consumers or people with lived experience to help build a research platform to better understand what's causing this increasing trend in bowel cancer.
So that's Daniel Buchanan, who leads the Buchanan Laboratory into the oncogenomics of colorectal cancer at the University of Melbourne. And so Julie's diagnosis, we heard her talk before, was some years ago. She doesn't actually know if bacteria played a role, but she's now a really passionate fundraiser, and her fundraising helped fund some of Daniel's research.
That's a nice tie. Yeah. Yes.
But it's not the only infectious cause of cancer.
No, there are a few infections. It's rare for a bacterium. There's three kind of main kinds of infectious organisms. There's bacteria, viruses, and fungi. The other bacterium which is can cause cancer is H. pylori. So that's the stomach ulcer bug.
Australian pioneering research there.
Barry Marshall, who won a Nobel Prize, along with Robin, who I've just gone a blank on Robin's second name. Yeah, they won a Nobel Prize for that, and they were told it wasn't possible. Well, H. pylori is associated in some people with the risk of stomach cancer.
Robin Warren,
thank you very much. You know, Google as we're on air, it's great. But it's more common in viruses.
Well, HPV is the classic one, isn't it? Well, the one that we probably know the most about.
We know most actually about hepatitis B. Oh. So hepatitis B is probably the commonest cancer-causing virus in the world, and it causes cancer of the liver. And it's one reason why kids get immunised against hepatitis B, because in a proportion of people who get infected, you carry the virus and it continues inflammation of your liver and increases the risk of liver cancer. HPV, yes, human papillomavirus, cervical cancer, oral cancer, esophageal cancer, anal cancer, and also Epstein-Barr virus, which is the glandular fever virus, is thought to be linked to lymphoma. So there are a few infections around, as well as fungi. So the fungus that is notorious is the one that infects peanuts and produces a toxin called aflatoxin. So peanut farmers are going to be very careful about that they don't get this fungal growth on peanuts, because it can produce this toxin. And in fact, farm workers are probably the ones who are most at risk of it, but it's liver toxic and can cause liver cancer. It's associated with liver cancer.
So less of a problem as a consumer of peanuts, but a real worry if you're producing them.
Yeah, they're aware of the problem. And so peanuts that we eat are free of the fungal infection, but it has been a risk in the past. So here's another example of a toxin which can produce a cancer.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.